Okay, I just want to mention a few questions. Simon Bridgewell, Helen Baldwin, Craig, Adrian Reed, and others have all asked, you know, how can people be persuaded to change their fossil fuel lifestyles? What changes have the panel made to their lifestyle to cut their carbon emissions? What can people do to counter the causes of climate change? And it suggests to me that some of you in the audience want to be guided. Can I just, this recycling paper, could you put your hands up if you do recycle? So, the majority of you recycle, and I wonder why you recycle if you think it's a small part of a better climate for the future. Is it the answer? Can we just go around the panel very quickly? How can people be persuaded? What changes can they be persuaded to make? If it is going to make a difference in the future of climate change, and we start from one, how can we?
Well, perhaps we need to talk about recycling. You know, we involve people who can put their cars in it, we take them over to the council. to be perfectly frank, I think it really is up to government to set a program for this. And I did some figures the other day, and it shocked me very profoundly that the government spends more on widening 150 metres of the M1 motorway than it spent on this entire renewables program for the entire UK over the last year and a half. Right, so they spent more on widening 150 metres of the M1 than they had done solar thermal, solar PV, small hydro, ground source heat pumps, energy efficiency, all of the things that are very useful that we're being told people to do. The government isn't giving any money to it, and the money they are giving to it is absolutely peanuts compared to the money they're spending on making the problem worse, i.e. building roads for extra traffic, increasing the aviation capacity so that people can fly more on short-haul trips. So I'm sorry, but we're getting mixed messages here. We need to have a politician. To go in the right direction and actually putting the framework in place so people can do it. As individuals, we're entirely constrained by the carbon economy that we all live with. I feel terribly guilty for the bit of carbon that was released about me coming here on the train, but there's nothing I could have done about that to get here. There aren't the alternatives. And we need some of the alternatives put in place, and that's systemically, it has to be placed across the whole of society. We need government to actually enforce it and to make these proper mechanisms in place to start with, and then we can start.
Okay, well, given, you know, you can talk about mechanics, alternatives. I mean, just give us one example of an alternative that's feasible to be introduced, forced through by the government in a way that people would be willing to accept.
Well, transport's a very good case, really. I mean, for example, within cities, there should be no car traffic whatsoever. It's absurd that we have cars within cities at all. I mean, pedestrian cycling is the only sensible way to travel around. Small constrained spaces when you're trying to move lots of people, plus public transport obviously, but there should not be any private cars within any cities in the whole of the UK. Now that would do something to reduce our emissions. And also, it would also change people's lifestyles in a way which is healthy and better for cities, better for the community and everything else. But that's apparently such a politically impossible and unfeasible step to take that it's not even on the agenda. You know, when Ken Livingstone made his very ambitious, as it would seem at the time, congestion charge proposal, all the press and the eating standards and the whole motor world was up in arms. Now we look back and say, actually, that's an even beginning, this is the first step that we need to take. So it sounds radical at the moment, but when we've done these things, we'll actually find that they were very sensible indeed.
What are we thinking, radical, or do you think people can participate in the
Yeah, I think anybody can participate, and it's all different levels, as we said earlier.
Would you want policy to force through to force people to change so that people don't drive their cars in the centre so little?
Yes, actually. I mean, I think what we're saying
is if
the threat
says
that
the technology
is going to be well, that's about showing leadership, isn't it? If you believe in what you're doing, vote for it. On a personal level, we all know we can make sure we don't need to stand by them, and how we just do it from time to time. We don't need the computer switched on when we should, and we're told that's a huge issue across the country. So there are little things you can do. You don't need your lights on, that's something you can do. Yes, you can recycle, and I know I understand what Mark says about recycling, but there is an issue about wasting the Earth's resources as well. So, you know, it's all about changing one's behaviour. So there are things on a personal level you can do. When you come to things like getting rid of cars or running them on a different type of fuel, people can only do that with alternatives. And if you need alternatives, that's where government and local government have got to step in and provide the investment in public transport and all the rest of it. It's going to make that a reality, because otherwise it's not going to happen.
So why do you say, Robin, that every new house that gets built in Swindon over the next 10 years has to have...
I've got it, yes.
It's not because we will come to be
lawyers. I was going to say, when you come to local government level, you look at your plan and you look at what you do with your hands and all the rest of it. When you get to government, you go for the bigger picture, like airlines and airports and low-cost travel and everything else. So, but you've got to, overall, if you're going to make a difference, you've got to show that we're serious about doing the job.
Yeah, thank you. And you've signed up to Thames Edges, haven't you? You only boil a small amount of water to make your cup of tea. So clearly you believe that the small things count as well.
I think they do count. And again, I think it's how you get people on board for the bigger things. And it's how you persuade them to do away with their car or to use their car in a kind of mixed transport economy. And of course, it's government's role to ensure that there is public transport that works, and I'm glad that we put extra money into the buses in Swindon. And I wonder, how many people here do you use the buses in Swindon regularly? Yeah. people shaking their head. How many people use the train service in Swindon regularly? I do not. I don't use the buses regularly. Thank you for that. And I think in London it is far easier to use the bus, the train, and tube because it is integrated. You see people from all walks of life using public transport. I think if we get to that point, you know, we've got London as a great model, and I know it's easier when you've got a big conurbation than a smaller one like that Swindon. But when you've got people from all walks of life, and they're earning all people earning all sorts of money, from rich to poor, then it doesn't stigmatise public transport. And that is what happens elsewhere in the country. Now, we've had some investment in buses in Swindon, and there are absolutely great low-level buses that have been brought in now, and it's much nicer bus run, I'm taking them. But we do have a long way to go. Now, pleasure for me has been, you know, to change my light bulbs, and I've done that. And I took a holiday in England this year rather than going flying through. That's beautiful. I have to give you a personal a constituent emailed me last week saying he'd just been on holiday to South America, to India, and he discovered that climate change is really affecting people's lives there. And what can you do about it? Well, my big answer is never take a flight again, mate. Because, you know, people actually don't stop to think. And it is the job of people like me to point out to that guy, well, actually, what you've done by flying there is endanger those people even more. And so if you don't take personal responsibility as an individual, then how do you expect people like me to be your leader and to do things at government level if you're not going to make that small change in your own life? And I do point that out to them, I do point that out to my constituents, despite the fact that they might not vote for me again if I do that.
Okay, Julia, are people taking their own personal responsibility, or is it that governments will be a business to make a
change? Of course, it's a mixture, it has to be. But I think, you know, there are some very interesting ideas on this now. This idea of a called wedges. Don't know whether or not you're talking about wedges. But if you look at the problem, if you look at how emissions are rising, and you say, well, how am I going to get them back to, say, what our emissions were at the beginning of this century, in the next 10, 20 years, it looks a very daunting prospect. But the point is, if you look at it in terms of our portfolio of ways of tackling it, from just, as I said, changing your light bulbs to no energy light bulbs, that simple wedge that helps to bring down the top of that triangle a little bit, and you can, you know, not taking your car once a week, or there are all sorts of things. And I think that's a way in which we as individuals can understand how to tackle the problem. Some of these wedges will have to be very much bigger than that. And that's, of course, where government comes in and even international negotiations come in. But even we, by just doing small changes to our lifestyle, can be a little wedge that just in 30 years' time won't be such a small change because these things amplify will help to bring down emissions. So I think
we need to take responsibility personally. We need to make sure our leaders and politicians understand the science, that they understand the issues at stake, where we think we're going to go in the next 30 years, say, or even the next 5 to 10 years. One thing that's actually become very, I think, much more important for a lot of us is that, this is an important point, that in the past when we talked about climate change, we talked about what it'd be like by 2100. And the public have great difficulty relating to that. And they sort of say, well, it's really not my problem. And the government say, well, I'll let you not do anything because we're looking for re-election in 5 years' time. But the point is that now, the things that we're observing in the climate system are so clear, and the dangers are becoming so much clearer to everybody. And there is a commitment, even if we stopped meeting today, there is a commitment to global warming that is there for the next 30 years. We are committed to a quite significant temperature rise over the next 30 years, even if we stop today. And therefore, it becomes a much more immediate problem. And, now I think it really is becoming seriously a government problem, becoming an international problem, which it wasn't 5 years ago.
Michael, whichever political party is in government at the time, will they have the balls to take a radical course of action when it comes down to simply having a big sway of votes against them because the general public are not actually keen on giving up their cards?
I hope so. I just urge everybody, I sign up to all this. I take a pledge, which is very, very visionary colleague of mine and our supporters type of MPs who signed the pledge personally to reduce their own carbon emissions by 25% in 5 years, 25%. I have to say, at last count, there were 40 MPs who signed up out of the house of 650. So not very impressive. But to be the revelation to me, because there was Jack Holland Challenge, which is the whole major things I now offset every Friday, but I have to take, I do have to take some price. But every price is offset, and I've discovered things that, little things, make a huge difference. If you want to know that you're on a green tariff and that is genuinely making a contribution, you can't do it. There is no effective information. Friends of the Earth ran a website which actually did that quite well, as many people know, and renewable obligation came in, it became much harder to know that if you pay the electricity company a little bit more for green tariff, would actually make any difference at all. Now, that should be something that Ofgem should do. It's not difficult to produce a robust guide for people who want to pay a little bit more for green tariff. But it is, it's ridiculous. Now, however, having said all that, I just want to say one thing. I just beg all of you in this world to think of this. Everybody on this planet wants to save the planet. If it's so easy, why are we doing it? Now, all I'm going to say to you is this, that the cost, we've talked about banning cars from car centre, and everyone has said, ban, just do it, ban. Bob Blue Mike says, you've got to do it, you've got to have all sensors. Of course you've got to have all sensors, just the velocity you actually do move around, they can't walk everywhere, so you do need to have effective alternatives. And also, we've just got to put the investment in. Well, that's true too. But look at the size of the investment. To put that investment in on a scale that's really going to make a difference, and I would love to see it exactly as Mark said, I would, but look at the potential costs now. You've either got to take a lot more money away from people in tax, which means they can't spend it the way they want. Now, everyone in this hall might be perfectly happy. There are a lot of people out there who still need persuasion. You can't just take money from people. You have to persuade them to vote for you to tax them. That's one thing. Or...
do you know how much spent £6.5 million
on the other? Hold on. Swinging people that these sorts of priorities have to be put in place. I believe there should be. I can't just order people to do it. You've got to persuade them, and that is the key thing. Now, I absolutely agree. I couldn't actually hear why all my contributions are such rubbish, but I do agree with Martin. I did hear it earlier when he said that the political response has been inadequate. Every politician,
ought to be standing up all the time as Anne says, and just saying this over and over and over and over again. Because that's how eventually it will get through, not just the committee in this hall, but everybody out there who still needs to see it. That's what we've got to do. You've got to do it, we've got to do it more.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Can I just have a show of hands? Who is willing to pay more to achieve some of the measures that we've spoken about so far? If suddenly the government decided we're going to force you to pay 10 billion extra.
Can I pay less to be back poor as well? Why do I just have to pay more? Why can't I pay less for some things that I don't support?
That's a very good point.
Not as an individual, but collectively. There's a lot going on that we don't support.
So, I'll just say that. My hands up again. If you're willing to pay more on taxation to achieve some of the measures. Well, Mark, I mean, you know, that shows that people are willing to contribute to some of the more radical issues.
Does. Imagine, as the lady there was saying, if you save money on things that we don't have to spend on, such as billions and billions of pounds on oil-funded measures in the Middle East, and we also stop spending, do you know, have any idea how much money the British state spends on subsidising oil measures? I'm not talking about, the defence cost of the war, but actually our Export Credit Guarantee Department spends huge amounts of money on subsidising oil companies to go out drinking more oil, coal companies to go out mining more coal, right across the planet, and we as taxpayers are paying for that. So these are subsidies which are dedicated to making the problem worse. If we remove those subsidies, we stop spending money, we could save, I think it's 12 billion if we cancel the roads programme, right? Now, these are already substantial quantities of money, and we're not asking for any additional taxes, just to stop the government making the problem worse for us. That would be very helpful, thank you very much. Then we can talk about what individuals need to contribute to actually increase taxation or whatever. But actually, I think we're actually getting around this. Once you have a personal carbon allowance, it isn't about increasing carbon taxes or anything like that. Once you have a personal carbon allowance, you can choose to use it as you wish. If you want to take the one holiday to Barbados, fine, you can live in the cold for the next 10 years. Or you can buy somebody else's unused allowance to make up the difference. Then it's a system happening between individuals. It isn't something which has to be done through the government, then with more taxes.
Okay, one quick comment from Rod, and then I'll move on to another batch of questions, which is really about the fuel we use for fuel management.
I think what Michael said about investments, I think what Mark has just said, clearly, if you want to change all these things to the scale we're talking about, you are talking about massive investments in change. And at the end of the day, it is all about priorities. And it's all about you all have done say all pay tax, I step on a day if I can run your scheme, but that's the nature of politics. But the point being, if you are going to make a fundamental change of the scale in people's lives that we're talking about, the one thing one has to start with is straight honesty in politics. Telling people the truth as it stands, no ducking and diving, tell it to them as it is, tell it to them straight, sell the message, and you might just start to get through. Because I think people are crying out for some honesty in politics, what the real issues are, what the real costs are. And I don't want to get political because I've stopped walking around to, but Mark mentioned 6.5 billion on Iraq, and we've all got our views about Iraq. When was that? That's the first time I've heard that thing, because I don't hear anybody else talking about it. But it is about priorities. If you have all these huge sums of spending on all sorts of things, there is money to do things. So part of this is we have got to be brave enough to say there has got to be a new agenda, which has got to be focused how we spend our money if we are going to be serious about this. And it's not just about what the UK does, it's about what the world does. And that is an international perspective too. Okay.